Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making this part of your day, kicking off the final hour of the program. Time to talk a little golf with Bob Casper, Real Golf Radio. You hear it every Saturday morning. Bob, I made some ribs over the weekend. If I can replicate those ribs, we got ourselves a battle on our hands when we rematch.
Well, do it, man.
Oh, that laugh. That laugh. Was...
Bob doesn't have a lot of evil to him, but that was an evil laugh right there. That was like, let's see what you can do.
You just started right from the get-go, didn't you?
It just came out swinging.
I'm telling you, I've been messing with all kinds of different, like, that rattled the cage a little bit. And so there's been all kinds of experimentation with seasonings and times and all kinds of stuff. And
awesome.
I feel like we're in a pretty good place.
I can't wait to see the judging panel. I'm excited to see the judging panel.
Well, I know who will not be
on
the judging panel.
So when are we doing this?
I don't know yet. We're still working on a date. We were going to try to do something this week, but we're going to be in Vegas with some media days and stuff. And so that got scrapped.
Hans? Yeah.
Hey, Hans, you know what they say?
Oh, boy.
What?
It's all talk until...
Oh, I know. I'm.
It's done.
I fully admit it. Fully admit that.
It's all a lot of talk.
I'm just saying there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes.
Scotty, I'm
just giving you a hard time.
No, it's all good. Time. You're right. Nothing counts until we get some judges to go our way.
Hey, speaking of all the talk and not a lot of play, we saw some of that this weekend, but one guy that never talks, Colin Morikawa, goes on to win this thing. Can you teach us a little bit more about who we just watched win the British Open?
Well, Colin Morikawa came out. He's been on tour now for, I think, 24 or 26 months. He's won five times, including two majors now. And he was a kid that came out with a couple of other guys, Victor Hovland, and I'm trying to think of the other one. But they all three came out at the same time. They were all who was going to be the best. Hovland was supposed to be the best. He played golf. Morikawa played golf at Cal. And they all got sponsors' exemptions to be able to get out on tour. And then once they won, all three of them won in their first year, and they basically were then members of the tour, and then Morikawa's gone on to do even more than what the other two guys have done. But he's a guy that hits the ball extremely well. He's known for his ball striking. He hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens. If anything in his game is not good or of suspect, it's his short game, chipping around greens, putting, that kind of thing. But he putted extremely well on those greens this last week and was able to win the golf tournament. Anytime he does putt well or kind of average, he has a chance to win a golf tournament.
Bob Casper, Real Golf Radio, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. This was a fun final day of golf just because of who was involved, the names that were involved. I don't think the Open could have asked for a better last round of golf than what they got.
Yeah, they did. And you know what they did in the final round is they eased up on the pin positions just enough that it allowed some guys that were playing well to make big moves and have a chance to get back into the mix of everything. John Rahm missed some putts, but he still shot 4 under. Jordan Spieth shot 4 under in the final round. And some other guys, Koepka shot 5 under. And Tony Finau shot 3 under and moved up into a top 15 finish. So with that, you know, Louis Oosthuizen was not playing well, and he hit some poor iron shots in the front nine. But Colin Morikawa, you know, he continued to hit the ball well, he continued to putt well, and didn't let anybody get close to him.
I was really surprised to see Louis Oosthuizen. I just felt like his whole countenance dropped. He wasn't out of it by any stretch, but
no,
it just felt like mentally he couldn't accept having the lead for as long as he had the lead. And once he lost it, it just felt like he threw his hands up like, well, I knew that was coming. Did it feel that way to you, Bob?
Yeah, kind of. It did. You could see kind of his demeanor and what he did. You know, it's like when you're playing football. You know, you get a guy across the line from you, and you knew you had him beat, and he didn't like it. And that's kind of how Oosthuizen was. Morikawa continued to hit fairways and greens. He continued to putt well, make good par saves. And Louis, it almost seemed like he went into a mode of trying to catch up or not being able to react to the pressure. So, unfortunately, you know, he finished second in the last two majors. He was leading this one after 54 holes. And he's only won one major championship after leading after 54 holes. And so he's 1-for-7 now. And it's too bad because he's a great player and he's a good guy.
I got to imagine, is that that's three-fourths of the battle. You got to have talent. You got to be great at your golf, and you got to be able to handle all that. But you probably could, and you don't have to, but you could probably list a lot of great golfers that could have been up there with some of the greats, but just didn't have it upstairs to get it done.
Yeah, it's a totally different part of the game because there are so many guys that can hit it from tee to green that are really good, that think they're really good. But the guys that have the mindset, the guys that have the fire burning in their gut, the guys that relish the opportunities are the guys that win, and the guys that win major championships. Colin Morikawa in his interview yesterday said that it takes a player to if they're going to win, they have to figure out how to take the nerves and everything that are inside of them and flip them to use them to their best advantage. And Paul Egesinger said that on the broadcast yesterday as well. And Morikawa said, you know what, I relish these things. I relish these opportunities. These are fun. This is fun to be in contention and have an opportunity to win. My dad said the same thing. He said, you know, I was the guy that was like Jordan, you know, give me the ball. He said, guys will shy away from the pressure and guys will accept it wholeheartedly and use it to win. He said, I loved the pressure because I knew that I was in contention and I had an opportunity to win. So, yeah, it's just how they deal with it. And you'll find the guys that deal with it the best are the guys that are the best champions.
Hey, Bob, I want to take you onto the course in a moment in that Open where Jordan Spieth is making a run and he's hit a couple birdies and he's feeling that confidence. I mean, we talk about that confidence and you could just see it. Jordan Spieth was wearing it. And he was in a backswing. And the commentator said that a camera clicked in his backswing and it caused him to – I can't remember if he pulled it or if he pushed it wide of the green.
He pushed it out to the right. Yeah, I know the exact thing you're talking about.
So can a camera click from 35, 40 feet in a backswing? Can it really change the forward movement of that club? And would you blame that on a click?
Well, okay. So there's a couple of things that go on in golf. The etiquette is that you try to be quiet so that the competitor can hit a shot. You know, that hole was playing slightly downwind. You can hear a lot being said when everything's quiet and it comes from out of nowhere. And unfortunately, when a player is in the middle of their swing and they hear that click, it causes them to lose focus at that exact moment and almost kind of flinch a little bit. And in doing that, it can leave, you know, you pull up out of the shot a little bit. Some guys don't even, you've seen Tiger stop his club on the downswing because somebody clicked the camera or something like that. But unfortunately, he got through it. He kind of flinched a little bit, raised up on it a little bit and hit it to the right. You know, we've seen, Brian and I have talked many, many times about, you know, if you want to distract a guy on the free throw line, you know, everybody's hitting those little clackers together, you know, have it go absolutely quiet and stop right at the point when he's when he's getting ready to release. He's used to the noise. He's used to everything. And that's kind of the way it is, too. If there was noise in golf and people were talking and the kind of noise was kind of constant, it wouldn't be a problem. But when it's dead quiet and then you get a sound like that, it can cause you to hit a squirrely shot. Mm.
Bob Casper right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Is the Bryson Cobra thing all put to bed now, or do you think there's some ramifications from that going forward?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but, you know, they hit him back pretty hard, and he apologized. so I think, you know, they'll take it for what it's worth and accept his apology. I wouldn't expect if he does that very many more times that they'll keep him around. It was very unfortunate. He acted like a little kid in spouting back on that stuff. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Olympics because he and Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, and Xander Schauffele are all playing for the U.S. squad, U.S. team for the Olympics, and that's here in a couple weeks. And then it will be interesting to see how he's received with the Ryder Cup and being on the same team with Bryson DeChambeau and if there's any friction there that causes. No, he's going to be with Brooks. Sorry, Brooks Koepka. But Brooks said, you know what, I can be on a team with anybody for a week and not have a problem with it. So we'll see how it all works out. But I think he needs to mind his P's and Q's with his manufacturers that are paying him millions of dollars.
So, I mean, Hans and I, we've kind of joked about this a little bit, but the Brooks and Bryson thing, is it really 100% genuine? Is it a little bit contrived because it's kind of good for business for both of them? Because, look, you know, the Tiger Phil thing back in the day was kind of good for both those guys and getting their names out there and having some fun with it. Or is there just an overall authentic, genuine disdain between these two guys?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, I think Brooks and Bryson keep it going just for the sake of keeping it going. And I also think maybe there is a little bit of disdain, a little animosity between them. But I think it's fine. I think it's fun. As long as you don't get people in the crowd that are yelling and stuff again in people's backswings and that kind of thing. While they're playing, and then it's a little bit over the top. But I think for the most part, it's okay.
Hey, Bob, can you take us into the mindset or the mental makeup of lag putts? Like, how do you address them? Like, what are you thinking? If you're, you know, 40 feet, 45 feet from the cup, and maybe you've got a bit of elevation change, like, what are you thinking in your lag putts as you address your ball?
Well, I think first of all, you got to get the speed, you got to get the line, and the biggest thing that you're trying to do is try to hit the ball to within a maybe 2 to 3 foot circle, and it that can be left or right, front or back, that 2 to 3 foot circle that goes around the whole hole, so that you have a fairly easy tap in. So, hopefully you've putted on the greens a little bit, and you know the speed of the greens. But, yeah, that 2 to 3 foot circle is where you want the ball to end up. And a lot of players like my dad was a great lag putter. He wasn't a guy that really kind of forced the ball in the hole. He wanted the ball coming in around the edges and kind of dripping into the hole more than going in really forceful. So lag putters try to get it to do that. They try to get it to roll up and kind of drip into that 2 to 3 foot circle.
Bob Casper right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Bob, you had five majors crammed into about 8 or 9 months. Now you got to wait till April again.
This sucks.
Yeah, it's going to. But you know what? We've got the Olympics. We've got the playoffs and the Tour Championship, and then the end of September we have the Ryder Cup, and that's the Ryder Cup's going to be the cherry on top for the year, especially in my opinion, since the U.S. team is going to be really, really strong, and have a really, really good chance to win it. It's going to be held at Kohler, Wisconsin, at Whistling Straits, and I think it's going to be a really, really fun one. So, you know, look forward to the end of September and the Ryder Cup, and then we've got to wait, you know, October, November, December to April, about 8 months before we get back to the Masters again.
Yeah. Bob, you're the best, man. Appreciate it. Looking forward to our next competition.
Thanks, Bob.
Let's have some ribs, bud.
Let's do it, my man.
Talk to you later.
Bob Casper. He's always just so calm and like, all right, whenever you're ready.
He's as confident about his ribs as he is a golf game.
I know. And his golf game's really good.
And so are his ribs. Don't look at me that way. I wasn't a judge in that, okay? I did partake of both ribs. They're both amazing ribs. Bob does a great job.
Yeah.
You have an amazing technique. You need to bring your own equipment. We talked about that in the first segment. You've got that camp chef you love.
I had bad equipment.
It's seasoned. You know it extremely well.
But I'm not going to be the guy that complains about the equipment. But the equipment was not good.
Oh, boy.
No.
Didn't we just get on Bryson DeChambeau for doing this?
Yeah. My smoker sucked. I think it was Lloyd's.
Yeah. So we'll get your equipment in order, and we'll make this thing fair. Because Bob brought his own stuff, didn't he?
I don't think he brought his own smoker, no.
Oh.
Well, but he was comfortable with that brand of smoker.
He will, though.
Yeah, he probably will. He probably will.
He hears the buzz. I mean, you guys are kind of the Brooks and
Bryson.
And Bryson of the rib cooking world.
Problem is, he's Brooks. He takes the high road. I'm Bryson. I'm a petulant little SOB.
Well, it's fun, man. I love the back and forth. And I love Bob. I love his insights. I wish I was a better lag putter. That's it. The lag putting gets me, man. If I'm outside, if I'm a 50-foot lag putt trying to get to the hole, to get it within that 3-foot mark, I struggle.
You know, when you try to lag putt when you're 15 feet off the green with your putter.
Oh, the wedge. I still do Texas wedge it often.
I love it, man. Nobody's better.
I do Texas.
Nobody's
wedge
better. When you pull out the Texas wedge, man, chances are that thing's going to be within a foot and a half of the hole.
It might leave me with a one putt.
Yeah. Elevated greens can be a little bit of a kryptonite for him, though. I will say that.
Although, if I remember right,
in a
playoff hole against you 2 years ago, on an elevated green, Texas wedged 20 feet off the green, up an elevated green, and left it within a foot.
Yes,
you did. You kind of knew that story was going to happen.
No, I know.
Threw that out there.
But it is closer. It's like the closest thing you can get to a little bit of kryptonite for his Texas wedge.
I don't like crown greens. I don't like elevated greens at all. False fronts are my enemy.
Justin Johnson joining us once again, the doctor here at Premier Wave, and one of the individuals that helped create some of this equipment that's helping change people's lives, this technology. Let's talk about the acoustic wave therapy and what it's like and how it helps so many guys out there.
Yeah, it's the perfect segue talking about equipment that doesn't work.
I know, right? Yeah.
So
you got to have that equipment in top-notch shape.
We have, you know, we have equipment so men can't complain about their equipment.
Yes.
Because this works well. So, but basically, you know, this acoustic wave, you create a shock wave with sound, and the vibrations break up the plaques that are causing problems with the blood vessels and also induces more blood vessel growth. So you get new blood vessels. So it's a great technology that we've pioneered. Very effective. Everyone knows it's very effective. There's lots of studies that show its effectiveness.
And the thing that's great, though, about what you do down here at Premier Wave is it's customized. So there might be a lot of different ways in which you can help a guy's health, and you can customize a plan specifically for him and his needs.
Right, because not every person's the same. You know, we're all different, and not every treatment's going to work for everybody. So we have different treatments that work for people. Sometimes we'll do a combination of treatments. Sometimes we'll just do one treatment. We try to customize it for each person because each person's different. We're really trying to maximize the best treatments so that each person gets the best results.
And let's talk about the offers right now. Number one, you'll match anybody's offer out there or anybody's best reasonable price, and you're adding on to that as well.
Right. So for the next 10 callers, we are going to give you two additional treatments at no extra costs.
Yeah.
Yep. So come down, enjoy the food. Come down, stay, have the food, but stay for the erectile dysfunction consultation.
Real quick, somebody tweets in and goes, hey, I'll just ask, does it hurt?
It does not hurt. It is painless. Yep. So there's no pain involved whatsoever, and it's very comfortable. I've had it done myself, and there was no pain involved.
There you go. 385-360-WAVE. That's 385-360-9283. You can call, set up an appointment. You can also just come on down here as well. We got tons of food left. We've got jazz gear as well. Again, 2505 East, 3300 South. Let's go. Get down here. Let's have some fun right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Rises and fires for three.
The playoffs may be over for the Utah Jazz.
You're outstanding.
But the season never ends on the Zone Sports Network. From the NBA draft to free agency and on to the summer league, the Zone will be with the Jazz every step of the way as the Jazz front office builds for the future. Your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Countdown to the start of the college football season. It's our top 60 and 60. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
A man who's worn multiple colors here in the state of Utah and is going to be a pretty integral part of his defense this year. Lloyd, here it is, number 34.
Is the top 60 and 60. As the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 college football season.
We're gonna have a good time.
And now, it's time for today's selection. We return to Logan for our next selection, who started his career at Utah, but has certainly found a home over the last two seasons helping anchor the Aggie defense. Checking in at number 34, from Utah State University, 6'2", 235-pound defensive end, Nick Henninger. Utah State University head coach, Blake Anderson.
Excited about what I saw on film. Love what I see in terms of his leadership and his work ethic. He's unfortunately been coming off some injuries, but his track record speaks for himself. He is going to be a great addition. I think you can see him come in and play on the edge and kind of be a 1-2 punch with Byron Vaughns. He's one of the strongest guys in the weight room, loves to work, is physical.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Nick Henninger coming in at number 34 in the top 60 and 60, was third on the team in tackles last year with 42 tackles in the six games Utah State played last year. This is his third year at Utah State. Remember, he was part of the crew with COC Mariner and Caleb Rep. He was part of that three that came when Gary Anderson got the job at Utah State. So Nick Henninger has carved himself a nice role and is going to have a big part of that Utah State defense this year.
You knew that this guy was going to have talent when he got reps his true freshman year at the University of Utah. He played early, and it's really tough to break into any type of rotation, to even sniff the field as a defensive front or a linebacker with that University of Utah defense, and he did that at a very young age and then made that decision to transfer at the end of the 2018 season. And as you mentioned, he's had a couple of really solid years for Utah State. But last year, did you say 42 tackles?
42 tackles in the six games.
Six games.
Third on the team in tackles.
And I know that he racked up three sacks in that short period of time as well. So now you double that, add a little bit of veteran leadership onto this guy. Well, a little bit more, where he's a super senior. And I'm expecting huge things from Nick with this new coaching staff. I'm hoping that he's re-energized. I'm hoping that he's unleashed. I'm hoping that he's continued to work and grind and not kind of stalled out in that super senior year. Hopefully he looks at it as one last opportunity to show the world what he's got. Because if he puts all of those things together, he really could open eyes in the Mountain West Conference, not just as a defensive lineman of the year prospect, but as a defender of the year prospect. He's got that kind of motor, that kind of engine, that kind of ability. Now, I'm hoping that he still has it in his heart, in his gut. Because when the first time I saw Nick Henninger, or the first time I kind of watched him, he had that Hunter Dimmick quality to him. Hunter Dimmick, he didn't have all the God-given gifts that make a defensive end great. He just had that pure hunger and desire and chip on the shoulder and work ethic that made him Utah's all-time sack leader. That's what I want to see from Nick Henninger this year. I want to see him grind and just hate the world and just continue to chew people up and be what he can be, because I know it's inside him. He could be a huge difference maker to Utah State, not just their defense, to their team, to the wins and losses. He could be a huge difference maker.
You bring up a really good point, too, because academically he's won all kinds of awards, tremendous student. And I'd never had any conversations with him about this. I was almost surprised that he came back, because I think there's a world of opportunities available for him based on his academic success and getting into the world of business or whatever venture he wants to get into. He'll be great. And so, but the drive is there to still want to play football. And if he can translate that into that drive to say, look, this is, you know, whether I want a shot at the NFL or whether I just want to cap off my college career with a great run and kind of compensate for last year and that abysmal season they had, let's go out there and let's get it done. And he's got to, like, Coach mentioned Byron Vaughns is another player they brought in they're really excited about, that they feel like the two of them can be kind of a nice 1-2 punch and getting after the quarterback. And I think that defense has a chance to be really good. I had a long conversation with Ephraim Bonda. He's the new defensive coordinator up there. Boy, I got some stuff to tell you about him. He's a fiery son of a gun. And that defense.
Ephraim Bonda?
Yeah.
Oh, Ephraim.
I actually made the mistake.
Ephraim.
No, it's not pretty. It's spelled like Ephraim. And I called him, you know, I mentioned, and I said Ephraim, and I'm like, and then I apologized later. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was Ephraim. He's like, look, I've been here in Utah long enough that everybody calls me Ephraim.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's a little bit of a Utah name.
Yeah. But very much. If it's spelled the same.
Yeah.
Everybody's,
but he's got a great defensive philosophy, and I think they've got a chance to be much, much better defensively.
But he's a firecracker, huh?
Oof, yeah.
What's his background? Where did he come from?
Came from Miami. Was the co-defensive coordinator at Miami.
Oh. So he's got
he's been around.
A resume.
He's been around. There's no doubt. All right. It is time for Total Recall right here on the Zone Sports Network, brought to you by Angora Solutions. From concept to product launch, Angora can help you build a stable revenue stream via your very own Amazon e-commerce platform. Find out now at angora.solutions. Let's talk to let's go back to the play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears. John Morris talked about some of the additions of Jeff Grimes on the offensive side and what kind of quarterback Utah's getting with Charlie Brewer.
You know, I think much better. I felt so bad for Dave last year because it was his first year as a head coach anywhere. And look at what he had to go through. He had no spring practice, had all the COVID protocols. He was getting to know his players by Zoom. You know, that's not how you want to get to know your team, and then their parents the same way. So he was really, you know, fighting with one arm or maybe both arms tied behind his back last year, and Baylor went 2-7. But I think this year you're going to see a much more representative Baylor product on the field and a Dave Aranda coach team. They've been through spring. They've been through a full summer now. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a much better season for Baylor, much better product for the Bears this year.
Well, let me tell you, you got two brilliant coaches coming your way. I was able to get to know Jeff Grimes and Coach Mateos really well while they were here at BYU. And those are two brilliant offensive front minds. I'm interested to know from your point of view, what are fans' expectations? What are Baylor's expectations? What are your expectations of the change Grimes can bring to this Baylor offense?
Yeah, and you don't have to tell me about those guys. In just a short time of them being here in Waco, man, are they impressive. So I think Baylor is really fortunate to have Coach Grimes here as the OC, and Coach Mateos here is our offensive line coach. And, quite honestly, those are, areas that need to be better for Baylor this year, for the team to be better. Baylor was very, very pedestrian offensively last year. and just never seemed to get into a real rhythm, a real, a real groove offensively. And you mentioned Charlie Brewer, who's there at Utah. I don't blame Charlie one bit. I mean, Charlie was doing what the coaches were asking him to do. It just didn't work, you know, for whatever reason. And credit Dave Aranda, even after that year, that first year, he made wholesale changes on his offensive staff. I think he saw that often also and knew he needed to make changes. So that's how Coach Grimes and Coach Mateos got here. Expectations you ask about, I think Baylor is and Baylor fans are just really excited about having some punch in the offense this year. And our defense returns 8 or 9 starters, so I think it's going to be very, very solid. But they just need an offense that can move the ball, possess the ball, and get some points on the board to match the way the defense is expected to play.
You mentioned Charlie Brewer. What kind of quarterback is the University of Utah getting? And were Baylor fans surprised that he decided to transfer away?
Well, they're getting a great guy, number one. I love Charlie Brewer. Hated to see him go, but I sure understood. I think he just needed a change of scenery, you know, and I'm glad he landed there. It seemed like a really good spot for him. Charlie is going to give Utah fans and everybody that watches them, he's going to give them everything he has. He plays really hard. He's very smart. Great family, you know, family history. I'm sure you guys know that, you know, at the quarterback position. And Charlie fits right in line with that. So I wish him nothing but the best. I wish he was still here with us. But, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, he's moved on. And I hope he does well for the Utes this year.
How tough is this Big 12 conference going to be this year?
I think really tough. I mean, you start at the top, a couple of top 10 teams, Oklahoma and Iowa State. Everybody's picking them 1 and 2. And then beyond that, it seems like, and we just did our Big 12 Media Days last week, it seems like there's kind of a jumble from 3 to 9. You know, Texas is up there. How good's TCU? You know, Texas Tech, what about them? And that's Coach Matt Wells, who was at Utah State and did so well there. So it's kind of a jumble there, and I'm afraid people have Kansas, you know, pegged in at number 10 this season with a coaching change. But I think the league really top to bottom, or maybe 1 through 9, is going to be really, really good and really competitive to the point that it'd be hard to predict, you know, outcomes of games until we get going.
There you go. Look back on today's show right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. John Morris, play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears. And we've got a lot of ties to the state of Utah. Dave Aranda, former DC at Utah State. Charlie Brewer, former Baylor quarterback for the last couple of years. Then you throw in the fact that they're playing BYU.
Grimes.
And Jeff Grimes.
There are so many storylines. What's funny is how many storylines just in the Big 12 in general
yeah.
we have. I mean, now we've got two former big names here in the state of Utah that are head coaches in that conference with Steve Sarkisian and Matt Wells. And
yeah.
That conference is it's going to be a lot of fun. If you're a college football fan, there's a lot of storylines to pay attention to over there. I think there's a lot of BYU fans that are becoming Texas fans just interested in what Steve can do. And also BYU fans feel like they own Texas because of what Taysom Hill did to them.
Boy, those were two rough games. You know, Taysom Hill did them in Provo, and then the next year you're thinking, okay, well, Texas is going to even the score, and then they beat him up even more.
Were we doing the show when – I got a call from a mutual friend of ours that was in Texas, and she was like, hey, the station down here wants you to come on and do a hit with them and talk about this BYU team that's coming into Texas. And I think I told you, I said, I'm going to go on the station. I'm just going to make BYU sound like a juggernaut, like they don't have a chance.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I think I do remember
that. And I went on that station, and I was like, look, you guys don't have a chance. I told them on this station, I said, in fact, y'all probably ought to just bend over and kiss your butts goodbye because this is a really good BYU football team. And these guys were pushing back and pushing back. You know, there was some belief in it.
Yeah.
Like I had some belief in it.
Yeah, but you're just having fun.
Yeah, but to me it was like –
it's like what we do when we go on with Boise.
Yeah, it's like I don't know any of these Texas people. I don't care about Texas people. So I'm going to have a little bit of fun with them. And I just – I went through it, and they were like, well, what about your DBs? They never seem to have good DBs. And I went through the DBs. I'm like, they're going to shut you down at every corner. And just kind of – and then, of course
– And then it happened.
It all happened. And I remember just sitting there watching that game. I'm like, oh, they're dying. Because I got a call from the girl that asked me to come on that station. After the show, she called me, and she's like, well, you sure caused a buzz down here. You've caused some problems. And
yeah, come on, that's what you want a guest to do.
Yeah, and then of course all of it happens, and I'm just like, thank you very much. That was Bronco, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that was Bronco for sure.
That
yeah.
was Bronco's regime, and I remember feeling a lot of joy and happiness for Bronco in that moment.
Thanks for making me look good.
I loved watching BYU just destroy Texas, man. The whole time sitting there with a grin. It was better than the time I went down to Texas to cover the game, and that was the Jake Heaps.
Oh yeah,
Austin, Texas game. I thought they did okay in the first.
Yeah, they hung
quarter,
in there in that
quarter
one.
And a half, and then ended up losing. I think at the second half down the stretch. But BYU's owned Texas the last couple of times.
But college football is more fun when Texas is relevant,
no
and it's
question.
Been since you know Vince. I almost said Vince Neil. No, Vince Young.
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn. Vince Lombardi.
Ever since Vince Lombardi was running the QB back there.
Since he was beating USC in the Rose Bowl.
Well, no, because you had Major Vince Applewhite, McMahon. Didn't you? Was Major Applewhite post Vince?
Oh, Major, he was way before Vince.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was like 0203.
Who was his, Sims.
Chris Sims. Yeah, Chris Sims was like All-American everything. And he couldn't beat out Major Applewhite, who was 5 foot nothing and 100 nothing.
Just destroying people. I just remember hearing the name Major Applewhite. Just cracked me
it's
up.
It's a great name. All right, wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show next. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
In college at San Diego State, a guy texts in, my neighbors the Hughes thought about naming their son after Marshall Faulk. Thought about it? Why didn't they do it?
You're not catching on, Dave. What's their last name? You're just
oh,
so
yeah,
naive
you're right.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going for Marshall U.
No.
Oh, I got it now. Sorry. My bad.
You're so freaking naive, Dave.
This is why we love you.
You're not exactly you. A street smart guy.
Marshall U's not that bad.
No. I think it's more the last name.
So you
name.
Really like the Thunder and Herd, do you?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your Monday. Big show coming up here in just a moment. A little bit of news. Zach LaVine is now in protocol. And I don't know if they're going to try to. I just read somewhere where they're hope to get him to Tokyo, but he will not be with the team on their way to Tokyo. So obviously some COVID-19 issues there. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to play out.
Just add that to the pile of bad things coming from the Olympics. Jeez, man. It just keeps going. Hey, Lloyd, you just sent us a tweet. What are they doing with this Cobra advertisement? Are they bagging on Bryson?
Just watch it.
Oh, well,
you're going to have to watch it.
Bryson's at the end of this thing. I love the open, but Scotty, I hate what you brought up with Bob. How much longer do we got to wait for our next major?
You got to wait till April. So, have fun.
That's a long wait. Those majors are so much fun for me. I don't know what it is. I wish we could have four NFL Super Bowls in a given year. Because that's basically what these majors are for me. Like, it's the ramp up and the anticipation and the excitement of it. It's four Super Bowls, but in the world of golf. But I actually enjoy watching those more than I do the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's over-commercialized, and it's just – this is a three-day – you know, 4-day event that you get to watch.
You are on your own on that one. Like, I love golf. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not watching golf over the Super Bowl.
I just, you know, I can't stand the commercialization of everything the Super Bowl
does. DVR it. Get like an hour behind. Eat some ribs. get some Swedish meatballs in you, and then you can skip through everything.
Yeah, I would think the food enough is to bring you to the yard.
The food's incredible. You're right. We don't have the. That's one thing that has not become a tradition with majors.
Well, no, because the final round of a major is like 6 hours long.
It's a long, yeah. It's a lot of eating.
You can put yourself in a coma with all the eating of a final round of a major.
Our Super Bowl parties have become more about the food than they have the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, and remember, growing up, too, it was never a game. It was either the Broncos or the Bills getting blown out, so it wasn't like you were getting ready to see some great football game either.
So I told you I've tried to fast-forward through commercials, but the Super Bowl is the one time a year that the women
come in to watch the game.
And they come to watch the commercials. So I can't fast-forward those. And then I try to fast-forward the halftime because they're always salacious and disgusting and ridiculous, and I'm always like – I don't want to see another wardrobe malfunction.
The wardrobe malfunction happened one time.
With my 12-year-old boy sitting next to me. Don't need to see.
And don't act like you didn't go back and rewatch it after they left the room.
I don't need to see Shakira twerking right in the camera. It's like, okay, we'll fast forward that. It's weird. And then but then the kids are like, but it's such fun entertainment. Then you got to watch the halftime. You're forced to.
And Rock's like, back it up a little bit. I didn't miss the part.
Why are you fast-forwarding it? It's traditional.
I don't know how to do this transition, but Justin Johnson joins us right now for Premier Wave.
I'm racking my brain for something pithy, but I can't come up with it.
Oh, I got a lot, but we probably shouldn't. 2505 East, 3300 South. Man, thanks for letting us come down here. This has been a blast.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for coming down.
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of guys out there that I think, you know, they hear the number 385-360-WAVE, and they may have even dialed it into their phone, but they're just like, I don't know if I can hit send or not, and they're nervous. Here's the thing. This is a really – just being here is really cool because it's laid back. It's an opportunity for you to get something taken care of that you probably need to get taken care of. And it's low pressure. Let's find out what we can do to get you right back on track.
That's right. We're not high pressure salesmen here. We're just here to help people regain the normal function in their lives. It happens to everybody. You know, Father Time is undefeated, as they say. But the thing is, we can hold Father Time at bay for a while with our treatment. So don't let Father Time get the best of you. Come on in. It happens, like I said, to everybody.
And there's a lot of people out there that think, well, this is just for an 80-year-old that has complete dysfunction. But there's people that, look, once you, I'm sure, you know, 30s, 40s, you know, where guys start to see a little bit of issue there, you might as well get it taken care of now. It's a lot I got to imagine it's a lot easier to take care of that than it is on the other end.
Yeah, it's much easier when it's mild than when it's severe. Plus, it's preventative. Even if you're not really having any problems, come in and prevent you from having problems. So, you know, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, as they say.
And then, of course, customized to whatever your situation, because every situation is different, I'm sure.
Right. Everybody's different. Everyone has different needs. And so we have multiple solutions for people. Sometimes we'll combine a therapy. Sometimes we'll do a different therapy. But there's a therapy for everybody, pretty much. And we're the experts. We're the sexual health experts. So come down and see us. And we have some promos going on. You know, the next 10 callers get the treatment plus 2 extra treatments for no added cost.
That's awesome.
And then we're going to do something crazy. If we get 10 callers in the next hour, we're going to give a free treatment to Hans. Because
I know
he's not having any problems, but preventative measures here, people. So help Hans stay well performing.
I know one time I ended up in a Botox chair off of something like this and ended up with Botox and was thinking, this is interesting. I guess the complete – Well, here's the
other thing. If we get 10 callers, not only will Hans get the treatment, but we'll be live on the air while he gets the treatment.
Exactly. Perfect.
Gosh, man, it's just like there's so many jokes, but then you're dealing with FCC stuff. It's like,
yeah.
That's why you've noticed I've kind of sat back because I'm too childish. So I'm just trying to sit back and enjoy the ride.
But here's the thing. It's a serious issue. It happens to guys, all guys, as they get older. So let's get you taken care of. 385-360-WAVE. That's 385-360-9283. You can also stop by 2505 East, 3300 South. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Been a lot of fun.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.